I want to welcome all of you who are listening to our podcast or to the radio. You're joining the people of Emmanuel Baptist Church in the early morning worship service, the first of three that we have every Sunday. And I want to say just a special greeting to those who may be listening on the East Coast. We have a friend of Emmanuel, Jan Pointer, who lives in New Hampshire, who faithfully listens to our broadcast. We also have, of course, radio stations in Kansas and Oklahoma, and we're looking at adding Louisiana and Arizona. And thanks to David Stone and our sound men, we are able to broadcast over the internet, and we just appreciate our friends across the United States and consider you part of Emmanuel, though you are not physically present. We're studying the book of Hebrews, and if you have a Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. This morning, we're going to look at three verses of Scripture as I try to help you understand how God will end this world as we know it. I remember the first science fiction movie that I ever saw was The War of the Worlds. Now, the photograph that you're seeing is not the old movie that I saw. This was the recent rendition of that movie, The War of the Worlds. And it was, well, in fact, that's the old photograph there. Some of you are old enough to remember the radio broadcast when they interrupted and acted as if Martians were overtaking the Earth. It scared the nation. And then a movie was made, and then Steven Spielberg made another movie of the same title. This particular movie scared me to death. I was a kid, and I thought, wow, this is how the world's going to end. Didn't know any better. Of course, the movie Independence Day, which is probably a classic among the young generation. This movie, again, shows how aliens destroy the world. There's a new blockbuster coming out in just a few weeks called Battle Los Angeles, and my sons are just absolutely looking forward to seeing this movie. And again, it's about the end of the world as aliens come and destroy the earth. But probably the biggest blockbuster of this year is going to be the new movie, Transformers: Dark of the Moon. And again, it is about the end of the world. I don't know why it is that Hollywood is absolutely fascinated with the destruction of the world as we know it. There must be something innate within every human being that gives us all this natural sense that things are going to end. And you know, that is the truth. Things as we know it will end. They're just not going to end the way Hollywood portrays it. They're going to end in the very manner that the writer of Hebrews portrays it in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Remember, Hebrews chapter 1 is describing for us who Jesus is. And in verse 3, you have the clearest statement of the person of Christ probably in the entire New Testament. He is God in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. When you see the person of Jesus, the Anointed One, you see the invisible, immortal God who created the universe. He is higher than all the angels. The angels are His ministers who work like wind and fire, fulfilling His commands. Angels are a creation of Christ, while Jesus Christ is the creator of all the creation. That's what we've seen so far. Now our text, verse 10. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Notice the word Lord here. Chapter 1 is describing who Jesus is. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Jesus created all things. The heavens are the works of your hands. they will perish. What's they? The heavens and the earth. But you remain. They will all become old like a garment, and like a mantle, that is a coat or a vesture, an outer garment. Like a mantle, you, Lord, will roll them up. What? The heavens and the earth. Like a garment, they will also be changed. But you, Lord, you, Jesus, you are the same. Your years will not come to an end. Now, in these three verses, we see three simple things. Number one, Christ created the earth and the heavens that he might be praised. It's found there in verse 10. And you, Lord, you, Jesus, that's the subject of chapter 1. You laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens. This verse 10 is a direct quotation from Psalm 102, where the psalmist says, "The heavens are the work of your hands." We see this concept repeated throughout the Bible. For example, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it is his. I've given you in your notes two verses from the New Testament that say the same thing. In essence, Jesus created the heavens and the earth. He sustains his creation by the word of his power. And all the angels are simply his ministers sent out to serve you, as we'll see next week. But the Bible is emphatic that Jesus created the earth and the heavens. For what purpose? Well, look at this. Psalm 19, verse 1. Listen to this verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows his handiwork. If you've ever been on a plane and you've taken off and you've just taken a look at the landscape of the earth or glanced at the nighttime sky and seen the stars, you know the feeling. Something comes over you. It's almost as if the earth itself draws from you praise for God. You can't see creation without having this sense of glorifying the Creator. This is why it's just absolutely, utterly ridiculous to think that everything exists by accident. The idea that there is not a design to creation or a creator behind what we see is just absurd. You have to be a fool. A fool says in his heart, there is no God. Even the scientists today who don't know God as Jesus, they look deep through their microscope or far through their telescope, and they know there is a God because there is too much design. The writer of Hebrews says, I'll tell you who made it. His name is Jesus. You, Lord, created it all for your glory. Now, if you think the writer of Hebrews jests, let me show you something. This is a picture of the heavens. You can't do it justice. I had LASIK surgery, and stars at night are a blur to me. They call them night spots, and that's one of the greatest disappointments of having eye surgery. I can't see the preciseness of the stars, But ancient sailors and scientists, and including the ones you know, Copernicus and Newton and others, studied the stars. But even the ancients, the ancient Aztecs, the Greeks and the Romans studied the stars. And let me give to you a quote. Listen to this quote. A virgin shall bear a son called the Branch, the gloriously beautiful, who shall come down and have dominion. He shall be desired and longed for, but also he shall be despised and be a sin offering. He shall be pierced, but will also pierce. That quote is not from the Bible. It predates the Bible. It comes from the constellations Virgo, Centaurus, and others, the ancients who studied the stars and believed that a message was being written by the Creator. In other words, even those who studied astronomy before they had any access to the written Word of God understood the story of the coming of one who would be a sin offering. That's absolutely astonishing. But you know what? It doesn't surprise me, and it shouldn't surprise you, because the Bible says that Jesus established the foundation of the earth, and he created the heavens for his glory. Now, the second thing I want you to see is this. In our text, the scripture says that the heavens and the earth that Christ created will one day perish. It's found there in verse 11. They will perish. That which you established, the earth, the heavens, they will perish, but you will remain. Now, one must be very careful in interpreting this text, and I'll tell you why. To perish does not mean to cease to exist. That's the mistake that Hollywood makes and a great many people make. They consider death to be a cessation of life. They consider the idea of the world and the earth and the heavens perishing to be the end of everything. But that's not the case. In fact, John Gill, in commenting on this verse, says it beautifully, and I'll prove it to you in just a moment, but listen to his quote. The heavens and the earth shall perish, not in the substance of them, but as to the quality of them. The present form and fashion of the heavens and the earth shall pass away, for the curse shall be removed. The curse shall be removed from the heavens and the earth, and they shall be renewed and purified and changed, but the substance of them shall continue. Now, this is what the writer of Hebrews says in our text, and let me show you. First of all, he says that this age of the heavens and the earth grows old and decays as a garment. It's found there in verse 11. They become old like a garment. Now, it doesn't take anyone with any amount of smarts to figure this out. You look around at this age, you look at the earth, you look at everything around you, and you see that things are growing old. In fact, Isaac Newton observed this, and it was later labeled the second law of thermodynamics. He put it this way. All natural systems, when left to themselves, degenerate. In fact, if you hear me quite often say that the introduction of sin into the world through man brought a curse upon the earth, this is the curse. The curse is that God leaves things to themselves. And all things left to themselves degenerate and decay. It's the second law of thermodynamics. This world, this universe is decaying like a garment. My favorite pair of jeans, John, wore a hole in the kneecap. Now, I know that that's stylish for some, but I'm from the old school. And when my jeans had a hole in the right kneecap, I considered them old. Now, I wore them a few times. Norman saw me wear them a couple of times, and he kind of looked twice at them himself. But we're old-fashioned enough to know that when garments grow old, they wear out. Listen, this world is wearing out. Not just naturally, but in societies. You find that when people are left to themselves, they decay. Folks, this is why any government without checks and balances will become led by a despot, a dictator. Because without checks and balances upon the evil nature of man, things will always decay. We see this in morality. Now, I know that at times you think things are getting better through technology and that the world is becoming more civilized and so on. I think what happens is we put a good cover over what has been done and is being done throughout the history of man. Men left to themselves decay. By the way, your life grows old and decays as a garment as well, because you're part of creation. You know, when you come to faith in Christ, don't you wish that the moment you come to faith in Christ, everything would stop decaying in your life? Don't you wish that you would stop growing old? Don't you wish that your eyesight would not get worse? That your memory would not fade? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But yeah, amen, I hear that, amen. But that's not the way it happens. Why? Because your decay and your death is the last enemy that Jesus conquers. And it's only conquered at your resurrection. But it will be conquered. But not yet. You know, we got some great doctors in our church, and my optometrist attends our second service, and he's excellent. Our ophthalmologist, Dr. Rogers, I've talked to them about my eyesight, Dr. Sloat and Dr. Rogers both. And I saw Dr. Rogers in church a few weeks ago and told him I was not seeing as well as I used to. And he looked at me and he said, "Have you looked at your birth certificate lately?" You know, Dr. Rogers is biblical. He understands that things are decaying. It's a natural process. Our text says that only Jesus Christ remains the same. That's in verses 11 and 12. This world, the heavens and the earth, they're growing old like a garment. They are perishing, but you remain the same. And then we come to the climax of our text. The writer of Hebrews says, and this is what is so incredibly beautiful, Christ will ensure that his people will enjoy life on earth forever. Now watch. Verse 12. Like a mantle, that is an outer garment, a coat, a robe. Like if it's a cold day in February in Oklahoma, you take your coat off and what do? You roll it up. You fold it up. Like a coat, you, Jesus, will roll up the heavens and the earth, like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same. Your years will not come to an end. In essence, let me tell you what Scripture teaches regarding the end of this world. And it's not with aliens coming to destroy it. Here it is. There are basically three ages in the history of man. The old age, called the Old Covenant, you can read about it in the Old Testament. God had a special people, the Jews, a special place of worship, the temple, and a special promise. You obey me, and I will bless you. He ended that age in 70 AD. Jesus himself prophesied that he would in Matthew 24. All these things, I tell you, will happen within a generation. Within 40 years, he spoke that in 30 AD, the temple was destroyed. The Jewish age was over. No more sacrifices were being offered. Why? Because Jesus ushered in a new age. He called it a new covenant, a covenant made with his blood. This is my blood, take and drink, for this is the new agreement, the new covenant I make with you. What is this new age, this new covenant? It's the age in which we live. Some people call it the church age. Some people call it the new covenant. God has a special people. It's not just the Jews, it's Jew and Gentile. The Gentiles are people of all nations. It's literally in Greek, ethnos. We get our English word ethnicity from it. It's people from all the nations, every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, not just the Jews. The wall of partition between Jews and Gentiles has been broken. Those are his special people, those who have faith in Jesus. There's a special place of worship. Where is it? Oh, it's not a temple. It's not even a building like this. Oh, no. You are the temple of the living God. Everywhere you go is an act of worship because Christ lives within you. Know ye not that you are the tabernacle of the Spirit of God? And there's a special agreement. You know what that agreement is? In the old covenant, in the Old Testament, in the old age, it was obey me and be blessed. In the new age, it's you are blessed because of the obedience of my Son. Trust him, and all of my blessings are yours because of his righteousness. Wow. Now, see, the difficult thing is, though, there is one thing that has not yet changed. The earth that he established before sin, the heavens that declare his glory. And by the way, sin didn't take him by surprise. We all know that. In fact, A.W. Pink, who was a great friend of my grandfather, once said, God is more glorified through the fall of Adam in the giving of his Son to pay for Adam's sin than he would had Adam never sinned. For part of the plan of God throughout history has been that he would glorify himself through coming to earth to redeem mankind. But there is one thing that has not yet been redeemed. You know what it is? You're living in it. The heavens and the earth. And contrary to Hollywood, who says that aliens will come and destroy it, nah, that's not going to happen. One of these days, Jesus will return. And he will roll up this age like an old garment. He will set aside this age, like a vestige, like a vest, a coat, a garment. He will change it. And basically what he'll do is this. He will reverse the curse. And the law of second thermodynamics, or the second law of thermodynamics, will be over. Christ will reign on earth forever. Hebrews calls it, and we'll see it in coming weeks, the new heavens and the new earth. You will be resurrected from the grave if you've already died, or you will be transformed by the power of God if you are alive when he comes. This is why Jesus said, and I'll close with this, the meek will inherit what? The earth. The earth is your inheritance. But it's not the earth as you know it. It will change. It won't be destroyed. John Gill is right. It will change. Now, can you imagine living forever on earth without marriage? Because marriage is only a picture of the ecstasy that you receive in your relationship with Christ. Without death, without disease, without sin. Can you imagine living in a place where you can walk and converse with your best friends, including your wife, your spouse, who, like you, will be in the prime of your life without things decaying Because Christ has reversed the curse and he reigns, rolling up the old age like a garment. You say, what will it be like? Well, again, the Bible isn't real specific. It gives us enough of a glimpse to know that you can't even imagine it. In fact, the Apostle Paul says he had a glimpse of it in a vision, and he was forbidden to speak of it. Maybe a little bit like why we as parents sometimes will take that Oreo cookie dessert, you know, that mom has made, and we'll keep it in the refrigerator until the broccoli and the asparagus have been eaten. Because if you bring it out before time, the kids will bypass what's on the table to get to the dessert. I told Brent Price's class last Sunday, I think the truth is, if we really comprehended what heaven would be like, too many of us would opt to check out. And Jesus does not want that. He has a purpose for you. If you are drawing a breath, he has a purpose for you. But what I want to encourage you this morning with, and I'm done, is don't fall for the Hollywood hype. Don't listen to these newscasters who are going to come on and say that there's an asteroid that's going to come and destroy the earth in 2036. Don't fall for this stuff about the Mayan calendar and how the earth's going to be. This is crazy. Jesus has a purpose for the heavens and the earth. He created it. He sustains it. It declares his glory. He is coming one day to roll up this age like a garment. He's going to fold it up like a coat. And he will reverse the curse, raise the dead. And forever, you and I will enjoy fellowship. And the truth is, I think every one of us will have a story. And like in the old covenant days, clothes told a story. I think your story will be told in the dress and the name that Jesus gives you. And I look forward to that day where we just enjoy company without the junk of a world touched by the curse. For some of you, that day will come before he returns when you die. Don't fear it. The moment you close your eyes, the next thing you will remember is standing before your Creator, Jesus. For the rest of you, you may be here when he comes. Don't let the world misguide you. God has a purpose. He will fulfill it. And we look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that your word is very clear to those of us who have come to faith in you, that you have a purpose for the heavens and the earth, that they were created by you, sustained by you, and will only end according to your timetable. Lord, we look forward to that day, though we don't fully comprehend it nor understand it. We trust that this heavens and that this earth will be set aside, changed like a garment. And we will inherit an earth with the curse reversed. Our faith is in your work on our behalf. And this morning, Lord, if there's someone who has never come to trust in what you have done for us at the cross of Calvary, who has never put their faith in you and the death that you died as our kinsman on that mountain outside of Jerusalem, paying the debt of our sin, bearing the curse yourself, I pray this morning that your Spirit will bring that person to faith in your Son. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Slip out and let them get your picture too, Don. We'd appreciate it. I want to just